Morning, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity to say a few words in honor of three giants in our field. Well, I will not say tons of their impressive careers as the previous speaker and others would do. So instead, I thought I would just highlight one piece of their work just to illustrate their outstanding contributions to our profession, which has actually inspired my own work in the areas of hydropodology and critical zone science. Even though I did not have much direct interactions with them, but I learned a great deal in terms of reading their papers. So I will start with their papers as examples of how I learned from their outstanding work. This just one page common letter to the editor of CCSAJ published by Bob in 1981 turned out to be quite impressive piece of work, as Glenn already mentioned about Mesopole and its importance. If you look at the citation, quite interestingly, it turned out to be a very good one. Even though this is just one page letter to the editor at CCSAJ, up to this day, as you can see from the chart, we still see about 10 citations each year. So it has its imprint right there for our understanding of the complexity in the soil system. You may wonder what's the big deal of Mesopole. Grant again did a nice job highlighting that. But I just want to also briefly mention that even though the size range of different poles in the soil system might still be debatable, but if you look at how plants take up water nutrients, they use their roots, very fine roots and fine roots. They are in the range of mesopoles, and they are profoundly important for plant survival if they don't have that fine or mesopole-sized type of root hairs and stuff like that. So from my own limited perspective, here are the three aspects I'd like to highlight the importance of mesopoles. The first one is from the physical perspective. That is, it's a critical connection or bridge between big poles and the small poles. It's right in the middle. In next slide, I will illustrate further why what's in the middle is so critical. Now, biological speaking, it's a haven for a lot of fine roots, like I mentioned just a moment ago, and the microbes, which we don't necessarily see. But they are profoundly important for the nutrients, biogeochemical dynamics in the soil system. And then, in terms of chemistry, they are indeed actually physics too, biology as well. Interfaces, the fundamental interfaces for the complex processes going on in the soil system. So just kind of snapshot of my own perspective, why we talk about mesopoles. So in a bigger picture, what's in between turned out to be profoundly important. So if you look at on the left side of the slide, on the x-axis is complexity, and the y-axis is randomness. So we can look at the world in this systems view, where you do see what's called small number system, where you have what's called organized simplicity. They are like machines, okay? They are not very complex in the sense that they are all kind of fitting together very well, and you can use precise mathematical formulation to describe them. Only other end of the spectrum is what's called large number systems, where we have what's called unorganized complexity. Things become very complex, but more or less you can use a statistical means to treat them. The challenge is really the gap between the two, where we call median number systems, the macroscopic scale, where we see what's called organized complexity. Things are complex, but they are organized. So you have trouble with both fairly classical way of treating entities in our scientific thinking, that is statistical method or analytical method. And that's the one that we still struggle a lot in terms of truly complex system in nature. Now, applying that to the right side of the slide is our understanding of the soil complexity from the microscopic to the global level. Again, right in the middle is what we deal with every single day. We take samples, we look at soil profiles, but we don't have a whole lot of great tools, unfortunately, even though Mars exploration has much better toolboxes than we have on Earth. Nevertheless, you notice that we have microscopes and we have telescopes to look at a small world and a big world. But we really need what's in the middle. We may call it mesoscope to help understand soil complexity and what's underneath our feet much better. So that's a bigger picture perspective about why we talk about something in between. Switching to John Leite, in terms of his contribution, I put out just one piece again from the publication. This turned out to be quite a remarkable short paper, 7-8 pages. Although the citation itself not as great as you might like to see, but it does left leave behind the fundamental reminder of our community, our profession, the importance of soil structure, both science and art of lab, in terms of how we understand and apply that to our research, modeling, stuff that we do every day. So just look at this slide to illustrate what we now call golden aggregates, to illustrate the profoundly important aggregation of soil particles coming together from different sizes and shapes, colors, you know, how microbes, chemistry, physics all come together in such an organized world. Now, to say it in an easier way for me, I like to quote this Harvard professor, Richard Former, well-known landscape architect. In his book, he said, remember, he's not a soil scientist. In his book, he said, soil has a fascinating structure. Viewing this structure is an insight into a frontier as awe-inspiring as snorkeling on a coral reef. Some of you, I guess, in the room might have done that. You know what I mean. Or wandering around space in a capsule. I know none of them have done that, but you can get a sense that the inspiration. So that brings to my point here that when we try to understand the complexity in the real world, not necessarily just in a laboratory setting, although that's a necessary step towards understanding what's in the real world, it's not surprising to find out that we tend to run into two common problems in our study of soils, in the physics of hydrology or chemistry, biology. One is on the left side, that we kind of tend to grind sieve the soil samples. So we end up studying soil materials. We are not studying soils as they are in a landscape, which has structural organization. Much like you study ground beef, physically, chemically, biologically, you might study that to depth, but you end up knowing nothing about cows. All right? So that's one point, why structure is important. And second is the tendency, because, again, the lack of mesoscope type of tools, we end up doing things on the surface. So we make all kinds of assumptions. Although we have fancy equipment, illustrated there is not a fancy one, single ring or double ring, but you could see a lot of advancement in technology. We do things on the surface, trying to infer what's hidden underneath, and we make mathematical calculations with different assumptions. But oftentimes, those assumptions run into big trouble because of what's hidden that is not there, visible to our naked eyes. So what's not seen doesn't mean that's not important. That's the point. So looking at complex soil systems from the microscopic all the way to the landscape scale, you do see the nature's way of organizing over a long time period. It's not just a year or two, but it's really a build up over time, slowly, gradually, but surely, that you end up seeing the soil being such a hierarchically organized from the mineral organic complex up to the entire pedosphere. And they roughly could be, for a way of understanding the complexity, divided into perhaps, within pattern scale, the local control soil structural units, and about pattern scale to the landscape soil units. And then you have regional type of factors controlling that dynamics. The importance of soil architecture, which is an expanded concept of soil structure in my mind, is profoundly important. I'm highlighting only one aspect here in terms of flow of water at different scales, from the landscape scale on the top to the cross section or Hill-Slope scale, to so profile scale, down to the pole scale under the microscope. They are there, as we can tell from those images, that on one hand, the system is organized in a very complex way. On the other hand, we try to tease out how the water is flowing through this complex porous material, but really organized in different fashions. And so that's why we need to talk about soil structure. Turn to John Hans. He, again, another giant, made the fundamental contribution to about perfection. And I put out these books, seems to me, kind of culminated in terms of his outstanding contribution in these two volumes. And the left one is actually not a thick book, 176 pages, but has been cited quite a number of times, according to Google Scholar. The book, the volumes, of course, cover a number of things, but I just want to highlight one thing from his outstanding professional contribution. That is, he helped us understand better why we now call green water, that is, the water stored in soils and take up, or available for plants to take up, why it is fundamentally important or essential in combating the looming global freshwater crisis. Using Gary Sposito's words, if you add up all the fluxes going through soils across the globe, they actually are equivalent to the river flowing across the globe in terms of fluxes on an annual basis, which is quite amazing if you think that way. And unfortunately, it's still very oftentimes ignored kind of a water resource that we tend to pay a lot more attention to blue water, that is, the water in the rivers, lakes, and oceans, the other stuff that we connect water resources to. But if you look at globally, every year, let's say if you consider that total precipitation 100%, majority of that ends up in green water, 56%. Only 36% ends up in blue water. If you also look at how humans use water, majority of that also is in the green water. The lower bar illustrates the human use of water resources between green water and blue water. And this is the diagram I borrowed from a paper in Scientific America written by another professor at Harvard University, Rogers. So if people like them recognize profoundly important green water, why would not we, soil scientists and hydrologists and agronomists and many others would show our passion more so about green water. And so that's why I want to make a point there about the importance of soil water. Now, applying to that to our management, of course, irrigation comes to very much a good illustration, which is also what John Hans has made a remarkable contribution to. So I borrow these pictures from Crop Matrix. I couldn't make such a pretty diagram myself, so I figure I just borrow this. But illustrates very well the precision management of irrigation also of water with a concept like VRI optimization, that is the precision irrigation scheduling in terms of temporal water optimization, plus especially the precision variable rate irrigation in terms of the spatial water distribution. If we can have a better way of utilizing that understanding to guide irrigation among timing distribution, then we should be utilizing our water resources much more effectively. So to wrap up, I hope I have shared with you in this short presentation some thoughts from my personal perspective, why I would like to speak here in honor of three giants in our field. In my mind, a new era of soil physical hydrology should go beyond the dependence on soil texture alone, as soil architecture is proved to be a key to advance our understanding, modeling, and management of soil water in the real world. The legacy of the three outstanding soil physicists, Bob Lusmore, John Lady, and John Hans, have laid the foundation for this new era. The Mesopo debate in the 1980s in the soil science community was initiated by Lusmore. The classical paper on the science and art of soil structure by Lady remains highly relevant up to this day, and the pioneering work on irrigation by Hans remains highly variable in today's drought-prone West. The three giants have inspired new generation soil physicists and hydrologists to continue the journey of innovation to quantify soil architecture and flow processes in real-world soils. Thanks for your attention.